me, Handel, anybody else that does this for a living, the thing called radio, man, are we fat and getting bigger. And very tragically, they buried a guy the other day, 800 pounds, radio guy. Handel, watch out. It's you.
Phil Hendry 先生一齐飞行，我哋现在正系响3万尺高空中飞翔。顺便告诉大家 ，Chopstick， 我哋今晚嘅特别嘉宾系 Jackie Chan 先生。仲有一题嘅系 Fortune Cookie。And now here's Phil。
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The book is called Wounded Warrior. It was written by Larry Grover. Larry is a former mover and shaker in the Republican Party in the state of California. The book, Struggles of Male Domestic Abuse, is a book that he wrote while he was actively involved in politics in the state of California and was dealing with this at home, and is eventually single, and eventually went on to write this book about his personal experiences suffering domestic abuse at the hands of his wife. And Larry, I want to welcome you on the show and thank you for a very, very personal tale.
Well, Phil, it's a tale that needed to be told. I think we are aware of a ever-increasing percentage of domestic abuse in this country, but I don't think that people are aware technically of what men have been through, and that's why I felt I needed to write this book.
There are organizations, though, aren't there? And there have been books written before about men who have suffered domestic abuse, correct?
There have been, and I think they have been. They have to a point. I think they have collected the data, and they have been as coherent as possible. But mine is a personal odyssey, Phil. It's a personal sojourn, the one that I embarked upon when I was married back in 1990, and it was 4 years of the only word to use that I could use to describe it was a personal hell that was visited upon me by a woman who suddenly turned from someone I thought I knew to somebody that I did not know at all.
Was this really a personality change?
Well, I don't know. To be very fair, I don't know if it was a personality change. I don't know whether it was me coming into awareness, but I think the book is about me coming into awareness of the abuse that I suffered at the hands of my wife, and the things that I write about in the book and the experiences that I had, I think, will open a lot of people's eyes up to this problem. This is not the woman that I married. This was a person who became, in many ways, a beast, and she robbed me of a great deal of my manhood. I eventually was able to come out of this situation and sort of regain my self-respect, but I was the walking wounded for a long time.
Tell us about this. When you talk about domestic abuse, so many people are going to, you know this, so many people say, oh, come on, you know, how bad can it be?
Oh, I know, I've heard it. I've heard people say, you're a big man, she's a little woman. And
What are the physical statistics? How tall are you?
Phil, I'm 5'10". I weigh 165 pounds. My wife was 5'4", about 120 pounds. So certainly the physical disparity was there, and anybody that would talk to you about this and anyone that would question what I wrote about and what I lived through would say, well, the physical disparity is there, and it was in your favor. So why would you write a book like this? And I'll tell you why I would write a book like this. I wrote a book like this to let people know of the personal experience, my sojourn from this personal hell that I lived through into an awakening and into an eventual freedom from this problem, from this situation. I worked very, very, very late at night, and I have a job that kept me up late at night. I was doing an awful lot of polling, and I was doing an awful lot of research in the field of politics, and this was back during the whole debacle concerning Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. And at that time, I was doing a great deal of midnight oil burning. It was nothing for my wife, though, in the morning to shake me awake, knowing that I had maybe just gotten to bed at 5 or 6 o'clock, to, in a very sadistic way, shake me awake and try to pull the covers off of me in the bed in the morning and sort of make sure that I wasn't getting a proper amount of sleep because of this sort of abuse.
Well, what was this, sadistic, or was there a purpose behind it?
Well, the purpose behind it was that she was a controller. And so she would not allow me to get the sleep that I needed because she needed to control me. She needed to let me know. And it's the same thing, Phil, I think, in domestic abuse having to do with men abusing women. It's the same thing. It's a control mechanism that kicks in. She would literally get me out of bed in the morning using a combination of verbal and emotional abuse, whereby I would have to go downstairs. I would have to collect both of our kids. I would have to make sure that the kids had breakfast. I would have to make sure that the kids got dressed, and I would have to drive the kids off to school, and I would have to do this all at about 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, having had maybe 3 hours of sleep, having worked very late. I was also working at home, Phil. I had a home-based business at the time. And again, the combination of the verbal and emotional abuse that was visited upon me, whereby even though I was in the home doing work in an office, she would force me into the kitchen or into the bathroom or into areas that needed cleaning or needed preparing so that I was doing dishes, that I was having to pick up after the meal, that I was having to clear the table. And all the while, this combination of verbal and emotional abuse that she was visiting upon me, creating a hell, creating an environment of hell that I found it more and more difficult to live with. Although, when you're in that situation, you think things are perfectly normal, you're not happy, and you are living in a certain level of anguish. But the anguish that was visited upon me by this.
So you're in the morning, you're getting out of bed at what, 6 or 6:30 to get the kids off to school?
Well, while my wife is staying in bed, enjoying the fact that she had this control over me.
And then you are working in the house and still going and doing dishes and cleaning up?
Doing dishes, cleaning up after dinner, putting away dishes, cleaning off a table, making sure that the floor was mopped, making sure that the kitchen was cleaned. All of this, a type of emotional abuse and an emotional control. And this is the thing that I want to impress upon your audience: an emotional control that was sadistic, but at the same time it was a very subtle thing, and it was something that you could not perceive. The fact that we went to probably in 1 year we went to 6 or 7 civic fundraisers with a variety of civic groups where you have these $100 or $200 a plate dinners, and you have to wear a tuxedo, and you have to sit, and you have to listen to the hypocrisy from these people flowing over you. And I could tell again, and I would look at my wife and ask her why she would put me through this, and she would always say, "This is something that I want you to do." And, Phil, I want your listeners to be very aware of those words. This is something I want you to do. That's the controlling mechanism.
And all right, so between you having to get out of bed in the morning and take the kids to school, doing dinner dishes, and going off to civic fundraisers, your emotional life is getting worn down by her?
Well, again, it's a form of domestic abuse and control that this woman was visiting upon me. And not only was it a form of emotional abuse, but if you recognize that you have to go off to 3, 4, or 5 civic fundraisers every year, and you are listening, you are awash in the hypocrisy of these civic groups raising money for arts plazas or raising money for a park or whatever it is, but the hypocrisy of these people, it is an outrage against your morality. So now my wife was not only abusing me from the verbal and emotional standpoint, but now she was holding my whole moral structure hostage. She would repeatedly send me off to the store, and she did this with a laugh, and it was a sadistic laugh, to purchase products such as the feminine hygiene products, the emotional abuse of sending me out at night to purchase what have you, tampons or Tampax, the Mazengale spray, the Pamperin pain medicine for her little problem, to send a man into a store at 10 or 11 o'clock at night to buy a box of tampons or feminine hygiene product. Again, the subtle emotional abuse and again, the outrage against my own morality was something that I found myself trapped. And I was...
So this was every night she was sending you out to buy tampons, or...
No, it was just part of the... It was part, Phil, of what was the ongoing process of her controlling and her abuse. And I said to her at one point, one night, when she wanted me to go out to the store and get a case of these Tampax, tampon, the feminine products...
Yeah, I understand.
I said to her, "Why?" She said to me again, those magic words, "It's something I want you to do," meaning the control mechanism was in place, the abuse was in place, the emotional abuse was in place.
We're talking to Larry Grover. He's written the book Wounded Warrior: Struggles of Male Domestic Abuse. And what he went through, married to a woman for 4 years, working in the house, having to do dishes while he was having a home-based business, working late and still having to get up to take kids to school. He was forced to go to civic fundraisers, etc., even though it was against a moral code of his. And then sending you out to get tampons and the Mazingale spray?
Absolutely. And again, this is the kind of subtle emotional control and abuse that many women... probably more than we like to think, put their men through, Phil. And that is why I decided to write the book, and that is why I began to sort of extricate myself from that situation.
All right, Larry, we'll be right back. Our number is, if you have questions for our guest, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover, who is the author of Wounded Warrior. It's the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. If we have any heroin or any, I think Tony could use, but morphine or anything? Tony Sorrentino is engineering our show tonight, and we don't usually plug all the guys behind the scene because
it's not my orientation.
No, we don't, forget it. Tony, go outside, get yourself a drink, okay? Another beer, smoke another joint, it's all right. Nobody's going to tell. I walked in there one day. I found a little roach here. I figure it's the guys doing news in the morning. I don't know. Anyway, our number, 1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover, author of Wounded Warrior, Struggles of Male Domestic Abuse. You're talking about, in your marriage, having to deal with the fact that your wife was, you were getting up in the morning to take the kids to school. You were doing dishes and everything.
But, Phil, it was a subtle domestic abuse that I'm talking about, and that in and of itself.
Well, tell us about, and also the fact she was sending you out at 10 o'clock at night to get feminine hygiene products. You know, I my wife has often done that to me.
But for me, it was a constant thing. It was constantly, Larry, why don't you go out and get me some Mazingale? Larry, why don't you go out and get me some Pamperin? Why don't you get me some Motrin? And always the glint in her eye, and always the smile on her face, and always I knew that this was about control.
Well, I want to ask you a little bit about your road back, as you have a chapter here called The Road Back, and we'll get to that. We'll take a phone call first. Charlotte, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to say that when he says subtle emotional abuse, it's very subtle. It sounds to me like it was just a normal part of a relationship.
Well, I mean, coming from a female perspective, I would expect that from you.
Uh-huh.
But you have to understand what it is that men are dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Well, not every woman treats their man
like
that.
Are you married?
Yes.
You are?
Yeah.
For me... when you send a man out to do things, he's been working hard all night, and as I said, I had a home-based business, and you're doing this in a controlling way, okay? It's something for you to educate yourself to. I would recommend you pick up my book.
What is it the caller's not getting about this?
I don't understand, why he didn't leave.
Why don't you get about it? I did leave, ma'am.
It took you 4 years.
Yes, it did. I mean, abuse, if you know anything about the abuse cycle, which I guess you don't, is that people will stay, and people will hang in there, even when they shouldn't.
All right. Pick up the book, ma'am. Here is Santa Ana on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, this guy, I heard the part about being wounded, but I don't think he's much of a warrior.
You know something? If you don't get it, you don't get it, okay?
Well,
I spent four years of hell.
Well, yeah, but tell
four
me
years
who
of
was
hell.
Taking it.
What's that?
Partner, have you heard the term whipped?
What's that whipped mean?
Whipped means you basically laid down and died.
There's whipped. There's whipped as in bull whipped. There's the kind of whipping they did of slaves in the South in the Civil War.
No, I'm sorry that you shoveled 4 years of your life into the waste can, but let me tell you something.
Well, that's exactly what I did.
But the
road back for me was important.
You know what you need? You need a coach. You need somebody to wake you up and tell you what not
well,
to put
buddy,
up with.
Well, hey, obviously, everybody who's abused does. Everyone who goes through domestic abuse has to.
Well, you know,
right?
Like,
what are you laughing about?
I get to see you in your pajamas going to the 7-Eleven at midnight.
I beg your pardon?
I can see you going in your pajamas to 7-Eleven at midnight. You've got no cojones, my friend.
I said to her, I really don't want to do this. She'd say to me, I want you to do it. It's the classic controlling cycle in domestic abuse. And it,
when your wife said to you, "I want you to go out and get me Mazingale spray," what did you say?
I told her I'd really rather not do this. But the control mechanism and the abuse cycle is such that she will say, "I want you to do it," and you're caught.
You know, when my wife calls me a name, I was always taught, let her say what she wants and hear what you want. When she calls me a name, what I hear is, "Hey, friend, go out and find one of your friends and have a beer and come home as late as you want."
Have you gone out in the middle of the night and picked up tampons or whatever, a box of tampons for a wife? Until you've done that,
unless somebody was wearing it, I haven't picked it up in the middle of the night.
That, until you've done that, my friend, then you don't know what it is that we're trying to say here, and you don't know what millions of American men have suffered.
All right, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. What was the road back for you?
The road back for me, Phil, was very simply. She was angry at me one night, and she was out of control, and she picked up a pile of dish towels. I'll never forget it. And they were sitting on a counter in the kitchen, and she threw them right into my face. And she said, "You can take your," and I remember the words, it's in my book, "take your ass to the store and get a box of tampons." And I said to her, at that point, "No, I'm not going to do it." I just stood up one day and I said, "I'm not going to the store and I'm not getting your," and pardon my language, Phil, "your goddamn case of Tampax." And that is when I began the road back. And she shall tell you, she loved to humiliate me. But when I began to do that, that is when really the road back started for me.
When you said to her, "I'm not going to the store and doing that."
When I told her that I would not be a party to this kind of control.
All right, Studio City on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yeah, hi. My name is Mike. I'm calling from Studio City.
Yes, Mike.
I just wanted to ask him one question: is why did he take all that? For a while, why didn't he say no? You know, like asking you to go to that store and get this and get this, and he kept doing it and saying yes. Why didn't he like say no? It's like kind of you were digging your own grave.
Right.
You know?
Well, Mike, it's a good question, and I will tell you, it's a very classic cycle of abuse. People who are abused will stay in that abusive situation, thinking that they can change the person who is abusing them, and that was what happened. I was going out night after night getting tampons. I was getting up in the morning and cooking eggs. I was going to taking kids to school and football practice, and I was caught in that cycle thinking that I could change her and thinking that I could somehow make her into the woman I wanted her to be. And of course, that's the classic catch, the catch 22 of every relationship. You can't change that person. They're always going to be that person.
Wow. I mean, if that's your answer, that's really nice. I didn't think that's where your intentions of really trying to change her. I mean, that you sound like an ideal man.
Absolutely. I thought I was doing, but the abuse of going, you know, you go to a civic fundraiser, I don't know if you've ever been to them, and you sit and you listen to these boring speeches, and the living hell of listening to a guy say, "We need money for a park," was something I couldn't take.
All right, we'll be back with Larry Grover. His book is Wounded Warrior, The Struggles of Male Domestic Abuse. Phil Henry Show.
Bonjour et merci de voler des liens aériens de Phil Henry. Nous conduirons d'une altitude de 30 000 pieds. D'ailleurs, Jerry Lewis. Ce soir, le vol comportera Poodle. Je devrais mentionner Stupid American. Et maintenant, voici Phil.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover, the author of Wounded Warrior, Struggles of Male Domestic Abuse. I'm going through the list here, and I know it's a partial list, Larry, because your life with this woman, who you give the pseudonym of Susan to in your book, was 4 years. But you're talking about going out, she threw a pile of dish towels at you one night, and that's when you finally had it, right?
That is when it escalated to that level of physical violence, then I said that's it. And I said that I have to stand up, because it's one thing if you're going to be sent out in the middle of the night, if you know the terror, and there is a level of terror, I think, for any man who's sent out in the middle of the night to get Mazingale spray. And I've got to put that on a conveyor belt at a supermarket. I've got to watch everybody else in the place staring at me as I've got that Temprin or Motrin, tampons, all on the belt, looking at the checker, giving me that kind of a glance, and the entire thing obviously calculated by my wife to embarrass me. And
all right, you're standing in a supermarket. Did you also mention that you had to do dishes and take the kids to the school? And
all of it, as I said, a very subtle abuse, yeah. And I finally stood up. I said no more. I filed for divorce. I was denied alimony. I was denied even the most meager support. The courts are very slow to recognize abuse of men from women, and I got nothing to show for it. So I we're looking for a little something in the envelope, and it wasn't there.
All right, here is Omaha on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a couple questions for you. First of all, I wanted to make one quick comment. I honestly don't see what is so embarrassing to a man to go and buy tampons or whatever. It's a natural part of life.
Well, that's you. You're a woman, and it's like a man saying, I don't realize what's so wrong with me telling a woman she can't wear that dress or she can't go here, she can't go there. I mean, it's a situation where I think you have to put the shoe on the other foot.
I think that's just a very, it sounds paranoid to me. It's not to me.
Why would you make a man do something like that?
First of all, I wouldn't make a man do something like that.
Why would you put any man through that?
Putting any man through, you're saying going to get...
Well, see,
What is so traumatic about it?
What I resent. I resent the fact that you laugh. I think you can disagree, but I don't like the fact that you laugh at my pain.
You know, I'm not laughing at your pain. I'm just saying there's nothing traumatic about having to buy a personal hygiene product for somebody else.
And I think that's because you have never been in the situation that I'm in.
All right?
And that's what I'm talking about.
And my other comment is...
If you think that kind of abuse is funny, then I think maybe you need to talk to somebody.
I think what the lady's asking is, what is traumatic about putting a box of tampons on front...
Well, you're going to start in too? So, in other words, you don't understand. And that's why I wrote the book.
Okay. All right. I got it. You had another question, ma'am?
I have another question. Also, you're making yourself out
God,
to seem like such a victim. I guess I'm wondering where you feel your personal responsibility is in this relationship and why you let it continue so long that you did.
4 years. I mean, if you know anything about the abuse cycle, people will stay in it for a long time. Absolutely. It's like a woman who stays with a man who abuses her. Why does she do that? We don't know. Psychologists are trying to figure it out. But when I got to go and get up in the morning and go into the kitchen and look at those, those kids, and I got to clean up,
Are you in counseling now?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm currently in counseling. Why do I got to do it? Why do I got to clean it up?
Well,
I go to a civic fundraiser. If you want to laugh about a situation that that millions of American men are in, and...
Well, what do you mean, why do I got to do it?
Excuse me?
What do you mean, why do I got to go clean it up? See, you're writing a book about...
Henry, what I'm trying to do is educate... I'm trying to educate people to the reality of the sojourn to awareness that I went through. And I get out of bed, and I got to clean up a kitchen, all right? Or I've got to go and take a kid to school. Or I've got to go and I have to be a part of a PTO meeting. Why? I asked myself that question for 4 years. Why? And I never could come up with it until I got into therapy, until that day she threw the dish towels in my face. It has escalated to physical violence.
Well, let me ask you, you think getting dish towels thrown in your face is such an egregious...
That is a physical act of violence. And as I'm walking out the door, and I'm going to get the box of tampons or whatever that she thinks is a real riot for me to go and get, and she puts a boot up my rear end. I mean, she literally leaned back one day with her foot and kicked me square in the ass. That's physical violence, and that...
Well, that's a little... All right, okay, I don't want to characterize it. Here is Watertown on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir, hello.
Yeah, I don't understand what he's problem is either. I mean, why do you make children and not take responsibility for them? I've never seen a book written yet where it says that the father is not supposed to be at PTA buildings, or the father is not supposed to be cooking the breakfast.
It's morally outrageous to have to sit and listen to these people blather on about the need for money for a bake sale or something. Why?
No, for four years
I had to go through that.
You produced those children with your wife, the same as I did. And I cook my children's breakfast all the time.
Well, that's something you need to talk to someone about that.
No, it's my responsibility I'm the man of the house. I'm in the leadership role.
You see what
it's my responsibility, 50-50, to look after those children.
You see what's happened to you, my friend?
On top of that, no, what's happened to you is you chose work. You chose work over your family.
No.
And you abandoned them till midnight at night.
Amanda,
you worship the almighty dollar over human beings, little children.
I don't understand why
you bring children into the world.
I'm out there at midnight getting my wife a case of tampons.
Well, what's wrong with that? I do it once
listen
week,
to yourself.
But I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it every night.
Listen to yourself. Listen
but
to yourself.
If my wife has a physical need as such, and I've been married for many years, I've been through the ups and downs, I'd have no problem going out and getting a four. Now, I wouldn't do it every night.
Yo, well, there you go. You see, why wouldn't you do it every night?
Because it's abusive.
It's abusive.
I would tell her that, look, I'm not going out tonight.
Okay, I want to jump in here and say, this man has gone out. Sir, you've gone out and gotten your wife the things that she needs, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes, all the time.
All right, let me ask you something. What do you do when you put that box of tampons on that? What do you do when they're all of a sudden they're giving you the eyeball?
Well, nothing. I'm a man. I have no problem carrying tampons around.
You got to be putting me on.
It's a fact of life.
Wait a second. When you walk into a store and you put down a bottle of Pamperin, you're telling me you're all right with that?
Yeah.
Mister, you need a little... You need to talk to somebody.
I think maybe you're struggling with your manhood.
Whereabouts are you calling from?
Right now, I'm in Watertown, South Dakota, but I'm on a cellular phone.
All right, sir. I have a doctor in that area that I could put you in touch with.
He obviously doesn't
feel that there's a need, okay?
Well, I would hasten to add you should pick up my book and take a look at the cycle because it is, you know.
It's not abuse. You
walk into a store, you're getting you're going in there getting Mazingale, and you got a big smile on your face. Is that what you're telling me?
To be the leader of your family means to serve your wife and children, not yourself first.
How come she throws dish towels at me?
Well, I wouldn't have put up with that, and I will go along with that. My wife kicked me in the backside one time.
Did she kick you in the ass? There you go.
Yeah, right. It was the last time she ever did.
There you go, my friend.
Yeah, you know, I don't allow abuse.
She walked up to me with one of these hobnail boots. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Well, my wife were pointed cowboy boots.
A pointed cowboy boot right up the ass area.
And
that
I
to
did
me.
Not hit her back. But I let her know it'll
No, you don't want to. You do not want to strike her back, okay?
Well, you got to make. And I told
no, I didn't
her.
Strike her back.
I told her I'm not going to put up with that anymore, and I tell you, it took a couple of times more, but I did. I was okay
now,
with it.
All right.
Am I paying for your children now that you couldn't deal with the responsibility of a family?
What are you talking about? My kids, I have them. I have See, she won't pay me alimony.
Well, you don't need her to pay you. You need to search for your own independence.
What are you talking about? I spent 4 years. No alimony?
I mean.
Why don't I get a taste? Why don't I get a
taste?
Why don't I get a little something in the envelope?
What for?
Because I put up with her crap for 4 years.
If you want to separate from this woman,
right?
You just separate.
That's right, man. Get away from her, okay? What do you need? Aren't you employed?
That's not the point. I should get a little. I should get a taste of what's going on over there. A little something in the envelope is all I'm saying.
What do you mean a little something in the envelope? Look, you got away from the woman. 4 years of hell.
4 years of taking a boot up the ass, yeah.
Okay, she's gone. You got a job. What do you need money from her for?
Because that's the courts should recognize what I went through.
All right, thank you for your call there, sir. The court should recognize the fact that you went through. The court should recognize that you were buying tampons for your wife at a 7-Eleven at 10 o'clock at night, so therefore you should get alimony.
You know, again, if you don't recognize the cycle of abuse of having to go to a civic fundraiser...
Yeah, and going to a PTO meeting where people are saying we need money for a bake sale, and this is the basis of a book that you wrote about male domestic abuse, and you had to go and buy a case of a case?
There you go. See what I'm saying? A case. Most women say, well, go out and give me a box of tampons. She's got me going down to Costco or Price Club or going down to one of these places, and I'm getting that family-sized job that you can't stick inside of a shopping cart. I had to get one of those big metal things like a... You ever been over to Home Depot or something like that?
What?
You know the big deals that you roll stuff around?
Yeah, those big metal carts that you take lumber with?
Yeah. Imagine, you know, a guy's got lumber, another guy has got electrical equipment, another guy has got maybe some plumbing equipment, and there I am, Larry Grover, with a big... I got a crate size of tampons. And what do you think happens to me? What do you think happens to my self-respect? What do you think happens to everything that I've tried to build? That's what my book is all about, going through Home Depot with a crate of tampons. And these are the things.
All right, take it easy, okay?
Well, I'm sorry.
Woodland Hills, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hi. I just think the guy's just a total victim. I think he's whining. I think he's grabbing at straws for money. Come on, you worry.
What are you talking about grabbing at straws?
Come on. You're sitting there like, I want something in the envelope. You deserve nothing. If anything, you should be giving child support for your children. I mean,
what, a child support?
Bottom line.
Wait a minute. I was there in my home, and I was making cleaning up dishes.
And you know what? You should have been cleaning up for those children. I'm a father as well, and you know, and I do the same thing. And I've also gone to the store and bought those feminine products. Who cares?
She made me do it.
Yeah, you know what my wife asked me to do that. She goes, you know what? I'm not feeling well. Will you do it for me? Hey, no problem.
Wait a minute. Say that again. What did she say? I want to hear exactly what she said.
She goes, you know what?
I'm not feeling very well.
And I got the children. She goes,
Would you mind going to the store?
Right. And getting the tampon.
Do you see the emotional abuse? Do you see the control there?
What are you talking about?
Control. Because you know what? She wasn't feeling well. It's no big deal.
There's a controlling mechanism.
What do you mean control? His wife said she's not feeling good. Would you mind?
That's the emotional abuse, and that's the emotional blackmail I'm talking about, and that's what my book's about.
Dude, you're just grabbing straws here. It's sad. I mean, you're whining is all it is. You're just whining.
I'm not whining about anything.
I mean, I'm talking about
what I went through for 4 years.
Exactly. Stop crying.
Oh, well, you know, don't cry about it.
Stop crying.
You're very emotional, okay?
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, but it's my life for 4 years.
You know something, pal?
You're going to have to pay the piper. You're going to have to pay the piper.
Pay the piper? Yes.
You're going to have to pay the piper.
It's a mutual respect. And just because you demanded no respect from your wife.
Mutual respect. That's baloney.
You demanded no respect from your wife, and your wife totally slapped you down, and you weren't even man enough. You didn't have the balls to stand up to her.
Baloney.
Bullshit.
Baloney.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Grover. Phil Henry Show here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I don't know where we're going with this guy's book all of a sudden. She sent him out for a crate-sized box of tampons through Home Depot. Well, whatever. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. +1 800 449 8686. God, do I hate bumper music. One of these days, I'm going to bring in my Clockwork Orange CD. I'm going to bring in my Dick Dale CDs. I'm going to bring in any vomit besides Love ZZ Top. Have I heard Tush enough? Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover on the line. You're getting nailed here, Larry. And
well, until people understand the domestic abuse cycle, I don't think they're going to realize what I've been through. And
there's a chapter in your book on sexual abuse here, okay? And this has to do with her forcing herself on you sexually?
She asked me to make love to her one night. And again, the dynamic between men and women. When you ask a man, will you make love to me, or something to that effect, and I can tell you she put it much more crudely than that, you have completely castrated him. That happens to be something...
Why is that?
What?
Why is that?
I can't ask her to have sex. She has to ask me. In other words, what she's doing is she's emasculating me.
And your wife asked you to make love to her?
She's supposed to wait for me to ask. I'm not supposed to have her ask me. When she asks me, it makes me look like I don't know what's going on in the whole sexual thing, as opposed to me asking her. She should have waited for me to ask her. And
well, forgive me, but maybe it had been a while.
You see, again, you are caught in the abusive cycle.
No, forget about whether I'm caught in an abusive cycle. Why didn't you tell her, okay?
I'll tell you what, Phil. A wife asking, will you make love to me, it shrivels. And I don't want to be, it just shrivels, it shrivels up. I could be all ready. She said to me, will you make love to me? It shriveled. Suddenly, there's nothing going on there. And I devote a chapter to that in the later portions of the book on that whole deal.
I don't get it. Here is Miami on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi. I'd like to first say to the author that anytime you write a book, you're supposed to expect both critics and praisers, and your attitude is completely defensive for people who don't actually agree with your point. Second of all,
what they're doing is they're minimizing my feelings.
Well, you know what? You're going to have to expect that. You're going to have to expect people who agree with you and don't agree with you, and your attitude is...
Well, this is the hell that I went through.
Okay, well, and second of all, my second point is, I think that you're making, except the sexual abuse part, which we're talking about, which I don't even really think is abuse, you're making a mockery of real domestic violence that's suffered by women every day.
Wait a second. I'm talking about abuse suffered by men.
You know what? I'm familiar with the abuse cycle, and from what I know, the abuse cycle begins with, quote unquote, you're walking on eggshells. There's a period of tension.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's
and then it builds up to the actual escalating physical violence.
That happened to me too.
Okay.
Now, everything you're saying happened to me.
I only heard you name one actual instance of physical abuse when you were kicked in your butt by her boot. Is
and
that
she
correct?
She threw a stack of dish towels at me.
A stack of dish towels, and then it ends.
Oh, so I guess that's not abuse. That's not violent enough for
no,
you.
No, no, no.
Is that it?
No, you know what? I'm sorry. The dish towels.
If I would have said
don't...
that she would have taken a baseball bat to my head, would that have been okay?
If she took a baseball bat to your head, sir, you know what you should have done? You should have called the police, like any normal woman does.
I should have called the police when she put that boot up
you
my backside.
You know what? I've been married for 3 years, and before I was married.
Wow.
Excuse me?
Well, I mean, you know, you've been married 3 years, and you're telling me how it is?
You were married for 4 years.
Well,
what are you talking about? That's
one
year.
Than you. And then,
wait, I want to get back to this whole sexual. She asked you to make love to her.
And that's not sexual abuse, by the way. That's,
what?
You know what? You're suffering from, you cannot identify with your male role. You know what I mean? Asking for sex is something that your wife is not supposed to do.
That is something that the man, it's an emasculating thing for a woman to say, hey, Charlie, why don't you pull out Charlie Jr., whatever it is that she's saying.
That's
and
the
all
most
of a sudden
ridiculous.
I pull out something that, huh?
That's the most, I'm sorry, that's ridiculous. And as far as men going into the store to buy Tampax, to buy Motrin, that's any man that I know has no problem, even my husband has no problem going into the store buying Summer's Eve, any of that crap.
That's
if he's comfortable with his male identity, do you think that they think you're menstruating? I don't understand.
I'll tell you something. That you just mentioned something because that brought back an evening. I'll never forget it. I had to walk in and ask for Summer's Eve.
And? Do they think that you're using it for yourself? I have no idea what the problem is. I think
the lady's making a good point. Look, you're a man. What are you going to do with Summer's Eve?
Mr. Hendry, you know, you can minimize my feelings, but...
You're even attacking the host of the show when he's just,
kind
of like a devil's advocate.
I'm asking questions, okay?
I pulled Summer's Eve out, now the guy looks at me like I'm some kind of a transsexual or some deal like that?
No, he's not going to... Oh, my God. If that's what you're worried about, you're the one that's counseling, not the people that are calling in telling you...
Are you dressed like a woman? Are you dressed up like a woman when you buy it?
The transsexual phenomenon is such that you can have a woman's genitals... but still be in slacks.
Sir, let me tell you one more thing.
In a suit.
Let me tell you, I'm an attorney, and if you came into my office and told me you were suffering from domestic abuse, I would not be able to represent you because I don't think you have a valid claim.
Well, with all due respect, we all know about lawyers, so, you know.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, you know.
What is that, some generalization?
There's an attorney. There's another attorney looking to see if she can make the quick dollar.
No. You know what?
I have female genitals, okay?
I'm an attorney who's an advocate for legitimate domestic violence sufferers. You know, I went through it with my parents, and I know what it's really like.
So
and
if
what
I walk into a store and I buy a bottle at Summer's Eve, or I buy a case, understand I said a case of tampons she sent me out for.
A case of tampons, yes.
And a guy looks at me like maybe I have had some sort of transgender surgery.
You're wearing a suit and a tie.
Transgender surgery. You honestly think that's what the clerk is thinking. He doesn't give a crap what you're buying.
Just like a lawyer to minimize my feelings.
You probably think you have a wife or a girlfriend.
Just like a lawyer to minimize my feelings.
All right. I don't think so, but I thank the caller. And Mr. Grover, I thank you very much. Good luck. Good luck in getting that alimony, too, pal. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Back next hour with Bobby Dooley from the Western States Parent Teachers Organization.